I always start these calls with questions, you know, asking you what's on your mind. I'll say, look, what's on your mind? Any new discoveries since the last time we spoke that you want me to try to address? And then we kind of go into the material. And while we're going through the material, you stop and ask me any questions that you have. You're going to have a very, your role is extremely important in this whole process. So one of the things I do is I have a notebook. I don't know if you can see any of it, but I have it tabbed off 1 through 12. And so what I've done is I've taken the guide that they've sent you, and I take my guide and I put it in each tab. And so 1 through 12, and each one corresponds with the week that we're going to cover in the first 12 weeks.
Okay.
All the way in the back, when you start to get to like 14, there's a kind of an appendix back there. Okay. So that's what's going on. Do I have two Justins in here? Oh, okay. There we go. All right. There we go. So let's kind of start with just some of your questions or concerns or anything about my background that you'd like to know about me. Justin and I reviewed a lot of my background already, but any questions as we begin to embark on the program to start? Doris or
you? No, not offhand. I'm kind of taking the lead with Justin. We're both on the same page with a lot of things. I think, you know, for me, it's a lot of information first and foremost from you. Right. I think Justin and I know where we're going to head with this. So I think he wants to have the clear path as well as I do today. So I guess I don't have any burning questions other than how does this really start working? How do we start working with you? I guess various different ways that we have to kind of work on this. Do we work on this together, individually, get together, him and I, before we get together with you? I guess some of that is what I'd like to know, is how the process goes as far as starting this.
Okay. That's a very good question. You know, one of the things that I would suggest, you know, you can watch the videos individually. But then I think there should be a huddle up session once a week.
Okay.
For maybe 20 minutes and just talk about Supernova, what you've gotten from the video. Ask each other questions about, you know, how do we implement certain things, and dialogue. Have a specific agenda for that 20 minutes. This is what we're going to cover. This is what we're going to review, and then go to it, and then, you know, conclude. So have a 20-minute huddle up once a week. So that'll be important.
And a specific agenda.
Right. And the agenda will be generated from your video, which means what questions do I have? How can I implement, you know, what's on the video and in the guidebook? Okay, so you should zoom through the video, then go through the guidebook. Then what I will do is I will review the information in the guidebook once again, and there's going to be a lot of repetition because you're going to feel at times a little bit overwhelmed. So I'm going to just, you know, warn you of that, and that's okay. Okay. It's okay. Don't be alarmed by that, because these things build on each other. I go back and I review. So, you know, so that's kind of how it starts.
Okay, good.
What other questions might you have? Justin, do you have any?
Yeah, there was a handful of questions that I just kind of came up with, and there were some things Dolores and I discussed.
Okay.
One thing that we did earlier this week was kind of handing off as much as our compliance department would let us, my email. Okay. So that, you know, the 1 hour, 24 hour, contact. So if I'm in a meeting or I'm out, then she has access to that email and she can respond to it, or okay, she can call the client directly, where before she didn't have access to it. So if it was, you know, I was gone, you know, left early on Friday, didn't come back, you know, all that space in between. So that was something that we did. So one question with that was, do you recommend having an automatic reply to my email all the time?
Well, you know, I don't use auto reply.
Okay.
Okay. So, you know, I've got my email connected to my phone. I've got it on my laptop. So, you know, so I can respond. I can decide what's urgent and what's non-urgent. That's one of the things that we cover in Supernova. Okay. You know, if there's a matter of urgency, then of course, you know, you want to respond. If there's not an urgency, then, you know, you're going to get back on a regularly scheduled call. Now, one of the things you'll know about the program is, we want to get away from the business controlling you and you controlling the business, okay? So we're going to get into some of that today, okay? So, but that question is really good because it's about how do we now organize ourselves with Supernova, okay? What else did you come up with?
As far as appointments, they're, you know, looking at something in the information was doing your best work at the best time that you're basically at 100%. And so for me, that's in the morning. Okay. I do my best work in the morning. So one of the things was how stringent should we be with the not wanting evening appointments or weekend appointments? Part of the discussion that Dolores and I had was it can be convenient. And I think in the Midwest, it's, I don't want to say expected, but it's a little bit more laid back and, oh yeah, we can do that. But for me, as I was telling Dolores, I'm not the best advisor and I don't give the best advice and the best conversations later in the day.
Yeah.
So how do we, you know, does that make sense to just say, hey, no appointments after noon any day ever?
Well, no, I think, you know, your day is going to be broken down into client appointments with specific agendas. We're going to coach you on how to do that. Then you're going to have your afternoons for prospecting appointments. Okay?
That was one of my questions.
Yeah. In Supernova, there's no cold calling. Okay, so all appointments are a result of being personally introduced by someone.
Okay.
And that takes place in the afternoon. Also in Supernova, everything gets scheduled. So you're going to, around the third week, you're going to set up an appointment with Cindy Bowie, and she's going to take you through the Supernova scheduler. Okay. On that scheduler, it's kind of like when you leave the dentist office, you leave with knowing when your next appointment is going to be before you actually leave the office and maybe what the follow-up appointment is going to be. The same with the lawyer. You're going to start doing that. So the day where people just arbitrarily, hey, just happened to be in the area, thought I'd stop by. You know, we want to end that. We want you in more control of your schedule and your calendar. Now, who controls that? Dolores would get the designated title of practice manager and control who gets to see you and when. Okay? So if I were to walk into your office, there would be maybe four possibly five folders on your desk. And you're going to pull out the folder. You're going to look at the contents of the folder. And in that folder is going to have a client agenda. It's going to have the most recent call. This is what we discussed. This is what we talked about. This is what we agreed to. These are the next steps. So we're going to coach you on how to organize your practice in that way. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So we're kind of getting close to some of the material we want to cover. Were you able to look at the first video by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So let's go through this first session here, and some questions may come up as a result. So we're going to cover segmentation, how you get down to your core of your practice, what the definition of a butler client is, time management, the 80-20 rule, setting up your target minimum and absolute minimum relationships. This is important because this is going to allow you to free up your time to go after larger relationships. Identifying the maximum number of clients that you can meet with on a monthly basis. In Supernova, we have a concept called 12-4-2. The 12 signifies the number of annual contacts in a client relationship. So there's 12 contacts, 4 appointments, with 2 of the 4 appointments being in-person reviews, and the others being telephonic reviews. Now, I don't know if your firm allows you under this pandemic to use Zoom, but if they do, then you're going to be doing Zoom calls, you know, instead of, you know, face-to-face personal appointments for now. So use that as kind of the substitute. Whenever I say in-person appointments, I'm talking about client reviews. When I talk about personal introductions, this is when the client comes together and personally introduces you to the referral on the Zoom call. We're going to talk to you about how to set all that up. Okay. So let's talk about how do we decide what clients you keep. When I started in the business, and I was in it for 30 years as a financial advisor, if they were living, if they were breathing and had a pulse, I took them as a client. Okay. And, you know, as a result, I probably had about 400, and there was no way that I could keep in touch with all those people. And I used to get my book, pull it off the shelf, and I'd thumb through it. Who am I going to call today? I mean, so we want to be a little more refined. So let's talk about, and I'm going to send you an article on segmentation after the call. But let's talk about how do you screen these relationships and decide who stays and who you should keep. We want to get down to about a maximum of 100 household relationships. You'll be very busy with that. And then we're going to show you about how we use a concept called stair step to the stars as we continue to upgrade the clientele. Okay? So the first screen for segmenting clients is looking at production. You know, do they bring you the kind of revenue that you're looking for? We look at the assets that are available to manage. That's the second screen. The third screen is, do we like them? Or do you have when that phone rings and Dolores says, I got John Smith on the line, does that phone get heavy? Okay, we've all experienced that. Oh boy, we got John Smith on the line. So likability, trustworthy is number four. Do they follow your instructions, your recommendations? Are they trustworthy in that way? Are they forthcoming in giving you the information you need to raise your standard of care? Do they accept your advice? Are they profitable? Some clients take up more time. They might be producing 2,000 in annual revenue, but they want 40 hours of your time every year. Okay? So it doesn't kind of equate. The other is, do they have an opportunity for future growth? So you've got the young, budding business owner who's gonna continue to accelerate, have a profit sharing plan, a pension plan, and have cash flow management issues, and they're gonna grow. Good business. Well, you might wanna keep them. Maybe they only have 100,000 with you now, but they're gonna quickly accelerate to 1 million, 2 million, so you wanna keep them. And then the other is, are they a center of influence? Meaning, you're in the Rotary, and can the president of the Rotary, who might have a relationship with you, he's either a client or center of influence, can he make personal introductions? And if that's the case, well, you'll want to keep that person. Okay? So look at the screens that determine who you keep and who stays. And what we want you to begin to do, ideally, is we're developing a wealth management practice. And ideally, we'd like you to have about 85 relationships. And that may take a while. Okay? That could take 6 months to a year to get there. But the maximum number of households is about 100. Okay. Let's talk about, are you with me on that so far?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Make sense? Resonate with you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Butlers. Let's talk about butlers. A butler is a relationship with one of your valued households. Or it could just be a small person that you take on because you're doing some pro bono work and you want to take care of somebody's aunt or uncle. Okay? So it can be a relative of one of your key relationships, and you have to take them because the key relationship wants you to take them. So one butler, or three butlers is the equivalent of one household. Okay? So if I have three butlers, Aunt Susie and Grandma and somebody else in the family, Uncle Joe, that's the equivalent of one household. Three butlers make one household. Okay? So they factor into your 100 relationships or the 85 relationships that you're going to keep. Okay. Now, again, let's talk about the service model. You're going to have to practice, drill, and rehearse this service model. So let me take you through a little drill. The nature of our practice has evolved. We've solicited the help of a coach, and we've made some improvements to our value proposition and service model. And in that regard, we're going to be providing our clients with 12 contacts per year. 4 of those contacts are going to be reviews, and with 2 of them being in person, and of course in this pandemic, we'll be using Zoom for those reviews. The next thing we do is everyone would have a financial plan. And we provide a 1-hour response to problems with a 24-hour resolution. So when clients call you and they say, did my dividend come in? You want to be able to respond to that, Dolores. A 1-hour response. We will get back to you on whether or not your dividend hit your account, but you want to respond within 24 hours. So it really is 12-4-2, 1-hour response to problems, 24-hour resolution, having a financial plan with an eye toward intergenerational planning. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So intergenerational planning might be estate planning. It might helping the client with the trust. It's part of the overall plan. Okay. So that's the service model and your new value proposition. Okay. That's different. Now we have to begin to organize you to be able to deal with that. Okay. Now, the proactive service is the 12-4-2. The multi-generational planning is making sure that every client has a plan, that it's implemented and updated annually. Now, we work with a lot of teams that are small vertical teams like yours, one FA, one CA. And then we work with teams that might be more horizontal, where you might have 3 equal partners and maybe 2 CAs. And in that regard, we're able to delegate duties and responsibilities. So one of the reasons we've got to be organized is that Justin is going to be carrying on multiple roles. And so are you. And we're going to explain what those roles are as we kind of go through this. So let's talk about the steps. You're going to introduce the Supernova service model in person or telephonically. You're going to hand deliver a folder and review the contents. We're not at the folder stage yet, but I'm just telling you in advance. The CSA, which is Dolores, is going to mail the client the folder with their schedule if the folder wasn't delivered in person. And then there's going to be a follow-up letter explaining the process. Okay? So this is where you come in, Dolores. There's a sample letter in the guidebook that introduces the new service model to clients.
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. And so you basically set that up on your computer, and you would be able to print that out with your stationery. I'm sure it would meet compliance review if you have to make sure that they review your letters. And so there's a couple of them in there that you can use, okay? And the second one explains the 12-4-2 concept just a little bit better, but you pick and choose the letter that you feel most comfortable with.
Okay.
So let's go back for a moment. We kind of covered segmentation, and we're making decisions over the next, you know, month or so on who we're going to keep. I don't want you to go in and wholesale and say, here's 50 people we're no longer going to work with. Take your time. Do 10, do 5 and 10 until it gets down to your core. It's the hardest thing to do in Supernova, because what happens is people are thinking, oh man, how am I going to make up for the lost revenue? But here's what we found, that the 80-20 rule is really in effect, meaning that 80% of your revenue is really coming from 20% of your clientele. Okay. So it's proven, it works. Those numbers hold true all the time. Okay. Also in the guidebook, there's a sample script for introducing the service model. As with all scripts, try to make them yours. Try to own them. You don't have to do them word for word, but the concept of 12-4-2, 1-hour response to problems, 24-hour resolution, having financial plan, intergenerational planning has got to be in there. Okay? So there's a number of scripts in there. Now, one of the reasons we spend so much time on segmentation is you're going to have to continuously segment. Okay? So let's talk about this for a moment. What is the targeted asset level that you have been communicating that you like to work with? Do you have a target at this point? Is it 250? Is it 500? What's your number?
I mean, the target, so the target minimum, which was the average of the top 20%,
right,
1.5 million, and the minimum maximum would be $5,000 of revenue per year, or $500,000.
Okay.
In assets.
Okay. So your target, the client you want to target, has 1.5 million in assets, and the minimum revenue is 5,000. That's a big number. And what about your, so your assets are 1.5. Okay. Now, is it currently like that, or is that what you made the decision to focus on?
That's the average of my top 20.
Perfect. Okay.
And the revenue of that is 18,164, so we can round to 18,000.
Okay. 18,000 in revenue. Okay. Okay. Now, let's talk about Stair Step to the Stars. So if we took 20% of your book, how many households does that represent?
So 80% would be 43 households.
Okay, 43 households. Okay. All right. So what you want is you want 43 more like that or better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the way that this should be working, as your business continues to thrive and grow, you thrive and grow, and so does Dolores. So everybody is motivated to make sure we get to that level. All right. Now, let's talk about Stair Step to the Stars for a moment. Now, this is a stair step. If you can see my hands move up, so on and so forth. Okay. So you're going to start off targeting clients with $1.5 million in assets. That number then is going to grow to maybe $1.75 million. Then it's going to grow to $2 million. Okay. So then all of a sudden now you're going to have, you know, 85 relationships that have $2 million in assets. Then it might grow to 2.5, you know, 2.750, 3 million. Now that may take you 3 years to get there. So I want you to think about that as being part of the stair step to growth and who you target. And you're going to be communicating to clients that refer you and make personal introductions. This is the nature of our practice. These are the individuals and the asset levels that we try to focus on. Okay. Now we may not get all the assets all at once, but they have that kind of potential to work with us. That's who we work with. Okay. So that's what stair step to the stars is. And so what happens is if you brought in a new client with $1.5 million and you have, let's say, 8 clients with 150, then that one relationship takes away those 10 that you're trying to work with, frees up your time to target the upper level of the book so that you can spend your face time with the upper end of the book. That's the whole concept. That's the whole idea. How does that resonate with you, Justin?
But there was a call yesterday of Rob Knapp and then Bill Cates.
Okay.
Yeah. And I watched that, and he mentioned that, you know, we can understand, you know, the process of it, but on the psychological side of things, it's a little bit harder. Academically, we get it. On paper, yeah, that makes sense. But then psychologically and then actually doing it is the hard part.
Well, because you've created a habit. You've already started one way, mm-hmm. and now you're getting ready to make an evolution to another way. And so we're going to take time, and we're going to help you through that. Okay. So it's almost counterintuitive that it is going to, you're right-sizing the book, and it's counterintuitive to shrink by, you know, to grow by shrinking a little bit. Okay. Now, you're going to segment, you're going to use the screens, you're going to get into, you know, who's the ideal client, and you're going to begin to build more ideal relationships. And then we set your minimum and your max, okay, which you've already done. Yeah, you've done an excellent job with that. So your assignment going forward then is to, you've already set your absolute and your target minimums. You gotta be able to articulate the service model. Take a hard look at your clients and rate them based on assets and how they fit with your ideal client description. Practice the scripts on retention and segmentation of clients. I think you've already got the books. Watch the week 2 video. Now, when you begin to get into creating folders for each client, you've got to decide if you're going to use an intern to help you do that, or is Dolores going to do that for you? Okay. So there's going to be contents that go into each of the folders. And so having some help, with that, would go a long way. Okay. Now, any questions about anything we've covered so far? So tell me what you think you got out of this particular session and maybe what you kind of valued. Okay.
Well, I think for me personally, it was just to kind of have the direction. Okay. Both Justin and I basically being on the same page, knowing where we want to kind of head into this. So I think for today, it gave me a lot more to really kind of hone in on together cohesively that we can make these moves together and knowing what I need to do and what he has to do and how we both have to do a lot of this together as well. So right. I think it's a lot of constant communication too, which we're very good at doing. So I think it's just a matter of kind of digging our heels into it at this point, really kind of feeling it out and testing out the waters.
Right. So I would set up a date, and eventually this goes on the calendar too. Your workouts get scheduled. You put your vacations on the schedule. You put your rotary meetings on the schedule. Your meetings with COIs, prospects, clients, everything gets scheduled in Supernova. So again, by week three, you're going to have that call with Cindy to further organize your practice.
Okay.
Now, it kind of goes a little bit slow for one or two sessions, and then you're going to have this feeling of being overwhelmed. So, you know, you always can tell me, you know, hey, can you go back and can you cover this? Or I've got some questions, all right?
Okay.
Now, what we're going to try to do is ferret out some goals, Justin. And, you know, it'd be nice to kind of know where you'd like to take the practice. Are you looking to double in the next 18 to 24 months? You know, what do we have here?
I mean, yes, absolutely yes.
That's where we're headed then.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your current baseline again on an annualized basis?
This is running slow too. Just last month, it crossed over $500,000 in trailing 12.
Okay.
But as of right now, the recurring revenue is at 540.
Okay. Perfect. So to double means that in 24 months, you would be at $1 million.
Right.
Okay. So 1 million is the goal. So what we want to do then is, if you've got 43 households and they're pretty much generating close to 500,000, then what we really need to do is we need to get those households to about 85. Okay. And we'll probably, after 12 months or during that time frame, we'll probably stair step to the stars and up your minimum from 1.5 million to 1.75 million. And by the 24 month or sooner, you might be at 2 million. So when I say, you know, going to additional 43 households, you know, you might very well, you know, exceed that number. Okay. So that's what I'm going to focus on and trying to help you get to. Okay. I had an FA during the program, and we've got like two more sessions left. He's gone from $1.7 million to $2.3 million just in a year. So, you know, so he added $500,000, a little over $500,000. So it can be done. And while his target was not $17 million, because of his service model, he landed a $17 million relationship. See, so some of that's going to happen. You know, you're going to get some with million fives. You're going to maybe get some with threes. It's going to get elevated that way. And you're going to have the confidence that you've got a service model. You've got your team in place. You've got the organization to really, really make that happen. So what I think I will do on the next call is, we're going to cover, centers of influence. I'm going to give you a script for that. And then we're going to talk about niche markets. And I'm going to provide you with an article I've written on how to identify the pain points in specific niche markets. So you're going to be thinking about, you know, who these niche markets are. You know, that's that natural market you came in with, and then what target niche markets you really want to go after. Okay. So we'll spend some time covering that.
And just as a heads up for you, those two things, centers of influence and niche markets, I have never been successful with or really put enough or hardly any effort in doing any of that. So it's not that the concept's brand new, but actually doing the work towards that concept is brand new.
Right. Yeah, I think that's going to make a major difference in your practice, okay? So just as an example, I know we're running a little longer on this call. I wanted this first one to be just a little bit longer, but I want you to think about my market, working with financial advisors and managers. So what do I have to do? I'm reading Investment News Daily, Financial Planning Magazine, Trust Advisor, Advisor Hub. So I'm making sure that all the trade journals relative to that niche market I'm familiar with and I'm an expert at.
Okay.
So that's one of the things I do. So if one of your niche markets is to tackle one of the employers, major employers in your market, that means you got to get the research reports on that employer. You've got to understand who some of those executives are, you know, relationships with HR, getting personal introductions. I've got a guy in California working on Boeing as one of his niche markets. I've got somebody up in New Jersey working in the pharmaceutical industry. You know, I've had a colleague who focused on Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati, Ohio. Okay. You know, I worked in Michigan, and you have a lot of suppliers and vendors to the auto industry. And one individual focused on suppliers. Believe it or not, the individual, the Barfields family, supplied screws to Ford and General Motors. Screws, I mean, who would have thought? Multi-millionaires. Okay? So, you know, you're going to get into thinking about niche markets in that way. Okay. Any other questions or things that might be on your mind, Justin?
Yeah, the two, We Energies is one of the employers that we've you know, talked about. Okay. And then the other specific group is attorneys.
Okay. So one of the things about attorneys and CPAs, they're the world's worst sales folks. Okay. Bring them in and let them meet, you know, Dolores, your office, you know, go see them and talk to them about later, after you've got all this down, on how they can build their practice. We're going to talk about how you can create a mastermind group with those kinds of folks for business development. So whenever you want to raise an issue on business development, you know, feel free to, you know, chime in with that. And we'll just jump slightly ahead, and but we'll come back. Okay?
Okay.
But, you know, you the attorneys, you're going to deal with, you know, personal injury attorneys. You're going to deal with estate planning attorneys. You're going to deal with patent attorneys, intellectual property attorneys. I mean, you know, patent, intellectual property, it's that big. So, you know, you might narrow it down to a couple of groups first and then expand, add on, and that's okay. The personal injury attorneys, they get huge settlements. So you got to get familiar with, you know, structured settlements, as part of your repertoire of what you do. And of course, you know, the estate planning is all about the trust and those capabilities. The intellectual property attorneys always can give you leads and referrals on businesses that are evolving and creating new ideas, new concepts, which is big in California and the Silicon Valley. So, so that those are all very, very good places to start. Okay.
Okay.
Well, look, I enjoyed our conversation today. You know, and, let's move forward. You know what we're going to try to do for next week. And I'm going to get you that article on segmentation. And I enjoyed being with you today and, look forward to our next chat. Oh, and by the way, let's talk about that.
Yes.
When would we like a recurring time for your calls? What's the best time for you?
Probably Thursdays.
Okay. Is there a time on Thursdays that seems to be better than others?
At least 3 o'clock.
See, I'm on the West Coast, so you know, it's a little easy for me talking to folks in the Midwest and on the East.
Yeah, probably 3 o'clock.
Your Central time?
Yes.
3 o'clock Central. Okay. So let me just take a look at that. So that would be 1 p.m. on Thursdays. Okay. So I'll instruct the staff to notify you that our scheduled call is 1 p.m. Every Thursday, unless you have something that comes up and you notify us and you'd say, hey, look, I can't do it this Thursday, and we'll reschedule it. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, it sounds all good. Thank you so much for your time today and your kind attention, and I look forward to our next call.
Okay.
You have a great weekend. Thank you.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
You do the same. Bye-bye.